I talked a little bit just a minute ago about, what we see when we visit towns across the state in terms of civic engagement. We focus a lot on volunteerism because a lot of, local fire departments are struggling with their numbers and so on and so forth. But voting has a lot to do with it too, right? Obviously. And a subject that I keep an eye on, and definitely when we were looking at the budget issue in Bloomfield, it came in full focus. Don Stacom wrote about it in The Current. It was in yesterday's paper. Just Don Stacom, it's S-T-A-C-O-M. If you just Google his name in Current, you'll get to his jump page, and you can just click on the link. And the headline on this one is, "Many Connecticut towns offer direct democracy. Most residents sit it out amid dearth of civic engagement." Now, listen, turnouts outside of big presidential elections are always down, right? And the question is, and the numbers we saw in some of these towns for these budget referendums was very low. I don't have all the data in front of me to know how historically low they may have been, but we want to welcome in Don Stacom from the Hartford Current to talk about the piece and some other stuff. Don, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. How are you doing?
I'm good. What moved you to do the story?
Well, we were talking about whether referendums are really make sense anymore. They're kind of an old New England tradition sort of thing, kind of like the representative town meetings that you have mostly along Fairfield County shoreline towns still hold them. Annual town meetings, quite a number of central and northeast towns still hold those. But do they make sense in 2025? So we started looking at turnout and the variation on turnout.
Yeah, I want to talk about turnout in a second. I grew up in Massachusetts in a town meeting town, and part of our government class was to go to them, right? And that's what we did. And again, this is the late 70s, so it's a long time ago. But, I'm curious, if you didn't, something on like a town budget, if you didn't have referendums, what would you do?
Well, about half the towns in Connecticut, a little bit more, actually leave it up to the Board of Selectmen, the town council, the legislative body votes, and the public doesn't get involved. They get to vote in the selectmen or the councilmen, but they get no direct decision on the budget whatsoever.
So, if people are listening, and we have a lot of, our demographic is, a higher voter turnout demographic, but I think if you put it to most people, even, young people running around crazy working and raising their kids, and you told them you could either have a direct say in your town's budget or like a ridiculously indirect way, they probably would say they would prefer the direct way, but yet they don't come out and vote.
Well, that's really the crux of it. It's that old joke, if you don't vote, you can't complain. How many people will complain? If you look at Facebook and community pages, every town going will be complaining about taxes. Or, I found a pothole, why do I pay so much taxes? Why doesn't DPW out here for all the taxes we pay? The school budget, it's terrible, terrible. We want to do something. But then you get these turnouts that are 5, 10%. So a number of communities, again, about half in Connecticut, just leave it up to the councilmen and selectmen. Because, of course, budgets are also very complex. So it's easy. Nobody wants to pay taxes. That makes sense. But how many dump trucks does a DPW need? When should you replace them? What kind of tires should you have for your fire trucks? We could get them cheaper if we use Uncle Fred's. Those may sound like silly examples, but when you get into the weeds of the budget, there's a lot of work. There's a reason that councils and selectmen take a couple of months, and mayors take a long time, or town managers, going into the weeds of departmental requests. It's very tough to then say to somebody who's working full time, maybe as a family, maybe a sports coach, whatever they're doing with their lives, hey, here's a 150 page printout. This is the executive summary, by the way. Is it good or bad?
Yeah. I think the Bloomfield example is kind of incredible, because on the budget referendum, it was sort of a resounding no vote, but it still passed. Can you explain that to people?
Well, the other interesting question, and this is because where turnout comes in very much, is should a turnout of a small percentage affect a whole town? So if 5% of a town just doesn't like schools, and we're going to vote no on the school budget no matter what, should they be able to hold a town hostage? Or if 5% are going to approve whatever the school board wants, should they be able to hold it hostage? So different towns set different rules. I told you half of towns just leave it to selectmen and council. Of the other half, only about half of that, or a quarter of all Connecticut communities, have an annual vote guaranteed. The others, you have to petition for them. And they have different rules for how many signatures you've got to get a referendum scheduled. Then they also have separate rules, and this is done by town charter, on what it takes to make the budget pass or to defeat the budget. And in Bloomfield, they said you're going to need 15% of registered voters in town voting no to stop a budget. They got a huge, relatively huge percentage of votes of the people who came out voting no, but they only had about, I think it was 13.5% of the town voted, so it wasn't enough. Even though it was a landslide vote against it of the people who voted, there weren't enough people voting.
You know, we're talking with Don Stakem from the Hartford Current here in Bryan and Company, and I encourage people, it's the type of stuff we talk about a lot on the show, Don, so I appreciated getting, you know, I wouldn't say pen to paper because it's digital mostly, but I really appreciated you going out and laying out the situation and what happened in Berlin and as well as what we just talked about in Bloomfield. But, you know, the curiosity I have is in a town like Bloomfield or Berlin or any of the towns that still do it by referendum, is there actually any discussion about changing it?
Well, that's one more interesting part of these. One of the most tedious elements in any community is the charter revision, right? You see charter revision commission, oh, God, everybody's bored. But that's actually where the important rules are set. So what do we do if the budget gets voted down? Some towns, you can go on forever, at least theoretically. In my community, Region 10, the school district, about 20 years ago, we voted down six budgets in a row. And eventually, the school system had to start making changes to it. Other towns, they can just send the same budget back or send it back with a very tiny revision, and they'll have a limit. I believe Berlin was two. So you can have two referendums, and after that, it's whatever the board passes. So they endure two no votes, and if they choose not to make any significant changes, they don't have to.
That's it's fascinating because, I mean, I think that you're right. It's a big hullabaloo to change anything in how a town does things, but if you want a different result or try something new, you need to go through the process. I remember, you know, in Bristol when they tried to change the mayoral terms from 2 to 4 years, it got voted down resoundingly. But yet it's really difficult, I think, to run a town or a municipality or city or state with fewer than you know, 4 years. So I think it's important stuff. Thanks a lot, Don. We appreciate the time.
Brian, thank you. Great talking with you.